trade show displays, step and repeat backdrops, pull-up banner stands, table throws, all your large printing needs. ExpoNetUSA.com, 301-378-9363. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Thank you for listening to the Hub Show podcast. Brought to you by Venue Media.
Hey, yo, Hub Show.
From the center of the universe and covering Baltimore, New York, D.C., Philly, Pittsburgh, and all points in between, it's the Hub City's own, The Hub Show. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Canfield and Jay Heisch.
Mic check. 1, 2. 3, 2, 1.
Hub Show.
The Hub Show.
Here we are.
Jay Heisch, Chris Canfield.
That's me. And it's, we're over here.
The aftermath of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving weekend.
Dexter's in the house.
Dexter is in his laboratory.
Right? And look at him. His eyes are bugging out
I've
of his fucking head.
I've never seen him so calm. He just looked at me like, leave me the hell alone.
Right? He's gonna just curl up in the chair over there. Because he's ashamed.
Yeah.
He's ashamed that he ate a hole in my mattress.
Well, it's Saturday, the 24th of November, and you just got the puffy mattress in
yesterday, right? I did.
You saw the
old mattress out in the driveway. Yeah, it looks like Rocky went to town on that fucking mattress.
Without
like,
the knife, right?
With the knife. With or without the knife. Yeah. I don't know. What he did was he dug a hole through the fitted sheet and got down into the pillow top, and then he started ripping the foam out of the pillow top, and I've been laying on a pile of foam and raw springs for like 2 weeks.
Or the couch because you've been playing Xbox. Falling asleep to that, right?
Yes. Falling asleep sitting up. But I've gotten, I went online, I did all the reviews and all the stuff that the new kids are doing these days, right? I read all the Yelp and all this bullshit, right?
Over mattresses.
Asked a few people about some mattresses.
Yeah, you may as well.
Decided to go with Puffy. Puffy shows up yesterday. It's in a cardboard box, maybe about 4 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
I've never dealt with this before.
I gotcha.
But you unwrap the shrink wrap off of it, and then you roll it out where it belongs. I cut the vacuum packing off of it, and it started expanding immediately.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I go to a WVU game. I come back, and the mattress is...
Oh, it's ready. It didn't take three days to take shape.
No, it took like... It took three hours, maybe. Maybe 3 hours,
nice.
4 hours, something like that, yeah.
Well, you put it on the bed to let it expand?
Yes, yeah. I put it where it belongs.
In the driveway.
Obviously,
hey, look,
yeah.
My mattress is...
Yeah. And then I took the old one and sat it out in the driveway, and it... Yeah, it is very resemblant of the one from Rocky's apartment. Like, I should have took, like, one of those, like, what is it, the big Bowie knives and just stabbed it to the garage door.
You should have.
Yeah.
You still have time. It's still out there by the garage door.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out. You got one more day of this holiday weekend left to have some fun.
But the puffy thing, I got to say, is not near as comfortable as you would think it would be. But it is better than my old one.
Well, from your Facebook post today, you said you were... It sounded like you were stuck in it.
Yeah, well, my old one, it was actually a lot fluffier, right? It was a softer... It's a softer mattress than my old one. But this one feels like it's, like, engulfing you. Like, I've never slept on memory foam before.
Like, did you have a hard time getting up from it? What I mean?
I did, yes. And I cannot imagine what it's like having sex on it. I have not had the opportunity to break it in yet. But
you tried.
But I can't imagine having sex in quicksand.
Oh.
Like, that's what it's going to feel
like.
That
was a first for you, Chris.
That's what it's going to feel like, right?
All right.
Because when you lay in this thing, the longer you lay in it, the lower you get. And the mattress starts to, like, wrap around
you. Well,
you
be sure to let
you.
Us know about that quicksand sex when you have it there,
yeah.
Chris.
Right.
She's still in there.
It definitely keeps you from, like, tossing and turning at night.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know.
Does it need to move around?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, that's just your body.
Yeah. I mean, when the mattress kind of swallows you whole,
right.
You don't really toss and turn. Like, I didn't move all night.
Always been fascinated with sleep. People studied sleep. Jen Silver, who'll be back on with us again, our aromatherapy expert there. She is also doing sleep therapy now. I've always wondered, you know, people study REM sleep, you know, REM and all that stuff.
Oh,
but
yeah.
What do you really know about people sleeping, you know? I mean, it's just an unknown, right?
Know,
we
right?
fall asleep and...
Where do your hands go when you sleep?
Yeah, all that stuff.
Right?
And some people are more restless than others. Some people, quote, sleep like a baby and don't move the whole night.
Right.
But me, I'm breakdancing, right?
Ironically, babies are horrible sleepers.
That's true.
It does not make sense at all.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah. Some of them, you know. Yeah.
I would say that sleeping like a baby means you had a bad night's sleep.
And you woke up crying.
Woke up crying.
Chris, shut the fuck up.
Wanted milk.
Yeah.
I need milk.
All right. Hey, before we move on here, we want to give a shout out to our girl, Shay. She's down in Texas. Her grandmother passed away at the age of 90. You know, thoughts and prayers out to you, Shay, and your family.
Right.
Wait to have you back.
She lived a long and full life.
90 years, man.
90 years.
So
it's a long 18, time.
She's born in 28, so you've seen quite a bit.
We should all be lucky enough to make it that far.
I'm 45 years away. I'm in the middle of that. So
you're right on the hill.
I'm on the hill.
You're on the top of the hill.
I'm looking down.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, no kidding.
Your body's starting to fall apart, isn't it?
No.
No? You're holding it together pretty good?
Don't tell me that, man. It's a lot of it's mental.
Yeah.
No.
You haven't ran into any big health problems yet?
Just the gray hairs. I don't understand it.
That's
it? It's worse and worse, but, you know.
You know, I wanted gray hair when I was, like, in my 20s.
You want the salt and pepper look?
Yeah, because I wanted to look all distinguished
like
and
George
stuff.
George Clooney and shit?
Yeah. I just started getting gray hairs right now, though. So I'm getting into my good years.
It's from owning your own business, I think. Shit.
It's all I've ever done.
Right.
So,
what do they
so
know?
I did manage to get an early start, but people don't believe it. So I had to tell everybody when I was 25, I had to tell everybody I was, like, 28. Or 30 or something like that.
It's crazy, man. So when I walked in there tonight, get things set up here, you were going off about insurance.
Right.
What's chapping your hide here?
Well,
Chris?
A friend of mine started texting me about, he was talking about welfare and stuff like that. Like, he's a promoter for welfare.
He's an advocate for it?
Yeah, an advocate for it, which is kind of weird. Like I've never heard anybody.
Like, what's his stance?
I've never
on
heard
it?
Anybody be an advocate for welfare. He's okay. saying that people are. He's saying that people are stupid, basically, and that they're incapable of holding down normal jobs.
This is true.
And that we need to support those people.
Touchy subject,
right?
Yeah.
Like yeah. That's not. I mean, it bled into like me having known business and everything, and then we got to talking about like.
What does he do with that attitude?
He just works for a JLG, which is like a big
big corporation. It's different when you're out here running your own thing.
Yeah,
like you and I do.
Yeah. And I mean, like the reason that I can't expand or that I couldn't expand
because of insurance.
And the reason
costs.
I failed is because. It's like, yeah, it's just your insurance poor
eat you
all
up.
The time.
Yeah.
They eat you alive. Yeah. I think when I had 8 employees, I was paying like $40,000 a year in workers' comp. That's insane. It is. It's like more than having another employee.
Right.
It's like having two extra employees, and you don't pay out anything.
Given the line of work you do, you need to have some help. You would love to have some help, but
right.
Hiring people is a pain in the ass, isn't it?
It is.
Having employees, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you got, like, it's already to the point where you charge, like, $45 an hour for the job, right? And that's the only way people are going to pay for it.
Right.
That's the only way you're going to win the bid. And then you have to hire unskilled labor because you can't afford to pay them $20 an hour plus all of the health insurance, the workers' comp, the unemployment insurance, the health insurance, the car, the business insurance.
It just adds up.
Everything.
It's
fucking
nuts,
like you have to like basically triple someone's pay
right.
just to break even so that you can cover the costs
sure.
of having them as an employee.
And then how many of those employees didn't really even work out?
Yeah, right?
You had to deal with that too.
Yeah. You got employees that have to do things twice to get it right. So that means you have to pay them, like if you're paying them $10 an hour to do it once, now you're paying them $20 an hour to do it twice, the same job. And then you tack on another $35 an hour worth of insurance and,
sure.
and Medicaid and all that bullshit, right? You tack that all on, and then you're losing money. Like it's just impossible to get ahead.
Yeah,
you know,
here you are. You're now back to being a solopreneur.
Yeah, and then you look at it from like the bigger picture. Look at it from the bigger picture, and you say, okay, you got these guys on Wall Street, right? And they're going in. And they'll go in and this guy will buy, like there's only one company that makes this pill. He'll go in, he'll buy the company, and they're selling it for $5 a pill. Well, he jacks it up to $1,000 a pill.
Right.
Well, the insurance company just blindly goes ahead and pays that. And then it raises, the insurance company raises all of our rates because the way the insurance company is viewed is just a pool of money.
Right.
That's the only way anybody looks at the insurance company. It's just a pool of money.
Right.
So they'll take in enough money to pay all the bills out. Well, the bills keep getting higher, So the insurance company just says, we need to take in more money. So they just keep raising rates and paying out the thing, and nobody's regulating any of it, right? The whole gist of capitalism is that the insurance company should refuse to pay those rates, and then the manufacturer would be forced to lower their price to an affordable price,
right?
So that they could sell. Otherwise, they go out of business, right?
Right.
So why is nobody regulating the insurance company? Instead, what we do is the government takes Wall Street to court,
right?
You know, and says that this guy is bad for buying out the pharmaceutical company and jacking up the prices. Right. He's just a shark who smelled blood in the water. Like, don't blame him, right? He's doing what people who want to make money do, right? He's just taking advantage of an opportunity that nobody else saw,
right?
So you can't blame that guy. Put the insurance company on fucking trial. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody needs to get in there and fucking. We need insurance reform.
So we'll start off as a welfare push, turn into an insurance shit.
Yeah, it's all economical. You know, right?
Did it come full circle, this conversation? It's all economical.
Yeah, it all came full circle. And we're running in, if you look at things like society as a whole, like over, you know, the whole planet, like, we're starting to get more people than we have jobs for the people. You know what I mean?
That's fine, dude.
We're starting to get more people than we have jobs for the people. So, I mean, eventually there's not going to be enough jobs for everyone to work.
Then you add automation onto things, and it's...
Yeah. I mean, there's not...
It's a weird time we live in.
So how is the money going to start flowing?
Right.
We're starting to get into that time, like, where we don't know how the money's going to flow. You can see L.A. falling apart right now.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
Dude.
The homeless population is going up.
It's overflowed.
The actors and the people who were in the film business, who were making millions and millions of dollars, they're all starting to go out of work because everything's starting to go to Netflix and Hulu, and everything's going indie.
I know.
People are making shit on their phones and stuff.
The era of the big actor, Hollywood actor, making $20 million a movie, you know? Arnolds and the Tom Cruise and all that.
Right.
You got to wonder, with all these different outlets now, everyone's making movies. Netflix.
Right.
Amazon Prime, making their own stuff. Hulu's making their own shows.
Yeah, they are becoming the big three. Yeah, the big three are going away.
It's one thing when back in the day you only had three or four channels. Then cable comes along, but you still only went back to those three or four channels for the main stuff you wanted to watch.
And it's amazing to think that CBS and NBC and ABC refuse to adapt. They refuse.
It goes for a lot of companies.
They refuse to come down to accept
not just TV evolution. That goes for the retail world, like Sears, and these companies that are shutting down all these stores.
Right.
I don't know. Even the Gap, they just announced they're shutting a whole bunch of stores.
The Gap is going out.
I don't know if they're going out, but they're shutting a lot of stores, like over 100 stores across the country.
Wow.
So it's a sign, right?
Yeah.
I mean, something's going on, right? I mean, just everyone's buying stuff online.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean. I don't know.
How's money going to flow through the economy?
In the 90s, when Napster came along, there must have been somebody in the boardroom whispering to somebody or saying something. No one's listening to him, that type of story.
Yeah.
Hey, man, this thing's coming. It's going to bite you in the ass.
Right. Jimmy Iovine was that guy.
Probably, yeah, right? He was like, hey, this internet thing is coming.
You watch that show on HBO with him and Dr. Dre?
Yeah, I've seen
that. The Defiant Ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy Iovine told everybody a mile
it's
ahead.
Coming.
Like, hey. We need to change the industry. And no, everybody refused to
and
change
he changed
it.
The industry for
and
you.
And he changed it.
Rearrange your furniture. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, he was the one he's the one responsible for Apple Music, you know?
I know. The music industry is crazy today. How does money even flow to an artist if they come out with an album now and then you can just get it on Spotify or Pandora? How do they get money for that?
They're getting nickels and dimes for, you know, downloads and whatnot.
Yeah. They just get a little royalty check?
But at the same time, I have a buddy of mine. You know, I'm 45 years old, so I got a friend of mine that kind of, he balks at me. He's my same age as me. He's like, I said, yeah, dude, I pay for Spotify. I pay $15 a month for my family to have it on their phones and whatever. I also pay for YouTube Red, so I have to deal with commercials. He's like, man, that's another $15. I said, dude, that's only $30. That's $30. I said, how much did we used to spend on albums and CDs? An album alone was over $10.
Right.
Now, this is one artist.
I used to spend my entire paycheck.
On CDs, on music, CDs. Right? You could walk out of the store, you could spend $100 at the record store and only come out with 10 fucking CDs if you were lucky.
Yeah.
It's like Spotify. I can listen to damn near everything under the sun for $15 a month whenever I want to, however I want to. And I said, I mean, kids today, they're lucky. You know,
right?
They know what it means to be without this type of thing. It's right there all the time.
But maybe maybe that's the reason that artists aren't as high quality as they used to be.
I'm not saying the stuff on Netflix isn't good quality. There's some really good stuff out there. HBO, all that stuff. There's so many different places now. And if you're an actor, there's a lot of places to get jobs, obviously. There's tons of work.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at what point is the actor going to be able to demand that kind of money?
Right.
I mean, I just saw Creed 2 in the theater. I just thought, that's the only movie I wanted to see this year in the theater. I saw Bohemian Rhapsody. I saw it because my 12-year-old wanted to see it. If he didn't want to see it, I could have waited. You know, I could have waited until it came to HBO or even, you know, Redbox or whatever.
Yeah.
But we saw it. But Creed 2 is the only movie this year I wanted to shell out, you know, movie theater money to go see and eat popcorn and sit in the dark and watch.
Yeah.
The Star Wars, the last Star Wars movie, Blue. I didn't even see Solo yet. I have a copy of it at home. I mean, they just, you know.
I watched Solo, but barely. I just kind of was in and out of the room and not very paying attention.
But obviously it hasn't grabbed your attention enough that you want to go sit down and watch it.
No.
It's Star Wars. You're supposed to go, whoa, it's Star Wars.
Right.
That Last Jedi, that last one, man.
Yeah.
Man, that just,
oh,
wow.
I know. Right.
Yeah, that's one of the nails in the coffin for
the
that
one
franchise.
Before that was really good.
Yeah, The Force Awakens and Rogue One.
Yeah, Rogue One. That's what I'm thinking
of. I like
of.
Force Awakens. Everyone's like, oh, The Force Awakens is just a episode four all over. Yeah, well, that's the formula, and it worked, and I liked it.
Right.
You know, you brought back Solo and Chewbacca and all those guys. Good times. You know? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
But Creed 2 was all right, man.
Yeah.
Wasn't as good as Creed 1.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I'm a Rocky fan, so I got my Rocky dose.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? You know, that...
Nothing off kilter.
It's over the top.
Another Rocky movie.
Well, Ivan Drago's son. The guy looks like a cartoon character, dude. He's huge.
Is he?
Yeah. He just the boxing is so.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Rocky IV over the top.
Is it?
Those punches they throw. I mean, anybody would be dead.
Yeah.
You know.
Do they blend it just like the Drago thing?
Yeah, they blend it. They do a good story of
they have a montage with him, like with his the weight of his punches and all that kind of stuff. They match all that kind of stuff.
It's not like that. Not to give anything away, but they're not in the high tech Russian world. Drago is Ivan Drago from Rocky IV.
Yeah,
is down and out. He's been working his son out. He lives in a little crappy apartment with his son. But he got his son working out. His son's huge, man. His son could kick Ivan Drago's ass back in '85. But you know, he finagles a way to get a fight with the new Creed guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah. So it is ironic. It's cool for a guy my age who grew up on that stuff to see.
Does Dolph Lundgren sit like ringside?
Is he in the corner? He's there.
He's in the corner during the fight.
And he is actually, you know, to see him standing at the top of the Rocky steps. That was an interesting shot. I was like, wow.
Really?
Of all people. Yeah.
Really? Drago ran up to the Rocky steps?
He didn't run up it. No, but he goes to Philadelphia to hunt down and get a match set up with Creed. So he has to go through Rocky to get it.
I gotcha.
So he goes to Philly. You know, they show all these Philadelphia shots and the statue. Next thing you know, they're showing Ivan Drago turning around. He's the one standing at the top of the steps. It's really weird, man.
Right?
You know? And then he shows up in Rocky's restaurant. They had their words. I'm not going to give anything else away. But, you know, it is what it is.
Nice.
But it was good. Good times. I got my Rocky fix.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see it again. It's keeper.
Do you enjoy that for this year?
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. I think I got really into the Marvel stuff this year.
You did?
Yeah.
I know.
I really liked Infinity War.
That's cool, man.
And then after Infinity War, I had to go back and watch all the other ones. Again,
just to catch up,
just to like,
yeah,
be like, because they do a really good job of like blending the storyline.
Well, interesting
through all the movies. You
I'm
know
interested
what I mean?
In picking Santino's brain when they come out with Aquaman. I want to see how that goes down.
Oh, God, I know. Right?
He's gonna write a sequel.
That is the everyone
Aquaman.
Everyone is like everyone but him is least excited about it. Right?
So insurance pisses you off.
Yes.
Welfare made you roll your eyes.
Yeah.
Aquaman. Questionable.
Right. And I finally did see the preview for Aquaman. He is wearing the orange and green.
Oh, he did? I haven't seen the preview.
There's a trailer
out there?
He's wearing the orange and green jumpsuit with the trident and everything. It's fucking crazy.
Let's see. Aquaman. I actually have a computer now to look things up. Aquaman. Trailer. There it is.
Yeah.
First thing that came up. I mean, it's DC, not Marvel, so Disney can't mess with it.
Yeah, and they still used the guy that all the women like.
Oh, there
I think
he is.
That I think that's what they're probably playing off of. They're probably playing off the fact that this Jason Marmo guy that like everybody loves him, right?
I'm watching
or
him.
The women.
I'm
the women anyways love that guy.
Watching him with the sound down. Let's see what happens. Oh, there it is. Oh yeah. Aquaman. So he's born to humans.
Right.
I'm watching the trailer.
Born to humans.
Now there's people hanging around looking at an aquarium. And what happens?
Does he ride? Does he ride the seahorse in the trailer?
You know, they haven't gotten to that yet. All I got is he's in the aquarium.
Did not catch that part.
And he's having a one-on-one with all the fish in the tank. You seen this? This is the trailer.
Yeah.
Whoa! All
right. Having a sit-down conversation with all the fish in the trailer in this tank.
Wait, yeah. Who's the actor? That's not Roman Reigns, is it?
Huh?
Is that Roman Reigns from WWE?
Jason Marmo.
Okay. Those are Roman Reigns with tattoos on his shoulders.
He's a new guy.
Here we go. Now they get into the underwater stuff. And he's going to be Aquaman.
I had a conversation with the fish in my tank the other day.
I bet you did.
Yeah. I got this one crab.
Couple drinks.
I got this one little emerald crab. And yeah. He's done tripled in size since I put him in the tank. And he thinks he's hot shit. He just goes around, he'll go up and clamp on the starfish's arm.
Finger.
He'll clamp on the starfish's arm and start shit with the starfish.
He's a bully.
Yeah, he goes up in
the crab mafia.
Like where the shrimp lives. Right. I got a little fire shrimp and it lives in this little cubby hole. He'll go up in there and chase the shrimp out, and then the shrimp has to smack him around and stuff to get him out.
I said, but the shrimp claims the hole and stays there, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna stick my hand in this tank, and I'm going to flick that fucking little crab. So he knows that there's somebody over here. Show him who's boss. This is my tank. You can't fucking just come in here and boss around all my fish.
You never had to break up a fight in a tank, an aquarium tank.
Right?
Two dogs, maybe, some cats, but not fish.
Yeah, I'm happy to see that you're healthy and growing, but damn, you can't just come in here like a mobster and just take over the tank.
What does he eat in that crab? What is he eating there? What are you feeding it?
Well, I throw in this stuff called it's like chum. It's like chopped up fish. Like somebody took anchovies and blended
them
and put them in a Ziploc bag and sold it as...
He's not going to eat anything else in that tank, is he?
I don't think
crabs
so.
Crabs don't do that, do they?
I think he only eats dead stuff.
I gotcha.
I think. Like if I have a fish die, I won't even know. It'll just disappear. Everything in the tank will eat the dead, whatever it dies.
The Aquaman trailer's still going. I got something to say about to Hollywood.
Yeah?
You give away too much shit in your fucking trailers, in your commercials. You right. Just about told the whole story.
Yeah.
What's up with that, man?
I don't know.
I come up from the era where the commercials were kind of short, and they teased you, hard, you know?
Yeah. The worst is when you go to see a comedy, and the only three funny parts are the three funny parts that were in the trailer.
It shows you everything else is a reason why they didn't put it in the trailer.
Right.
Oh, it was awful. I'm saying. I remember, what's the one, in the movie Flop 2, the one with The Rock. Oh, when he did, what's the remake, Baywatch.
Oh, yeah.
I remember watching the trailer going, I just watched the whole movie. This thing's about 4 minutes long.
Yeah.
And they probably just show me everything I need to see.
This is all I care about.
Yeah. I never saw it.
You didn't?
No, I tried watching that one, too.
I made it halfway through and fell asleep.
Yeah. Hey, man, you know.
Chips was good, though.
Chips was good?
Chips was good, yeah.
Underrated?
Yeah, yeah. The comedy in Chips was great.
Well,
it's good stuff.
What makes a successful movie today? Is it the box office, the tickets at the box office? Because after that, it goes into Redbox and Netflix. And, what makes it? I don't know. I mean, Creed 2 is killing it at the theater right now, this weekend.
Yeah.
But that's going to die down a week, two now. It's going to be something else on top of the box office, but... What?
Well, I think Adams or Noah, Will Ferrell and the other guy from Step Brothers, and Talladega Nights, John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly.
Yeah, they're getting back together and doing something for Christmas.
They're doing another Step Brothers too. I understand
that. Yeah, that ought to be big.
But remember though, Anchorman 2, which was good.
Yeah,
it flopped.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I thought it was funny shit.
It was, yeah, yeah. Zoolander 2. Anchorman 2 took a weird twist.
It was kind of long.
When that shark came in and he went blind. That was when I lost me. What is going on? This is a crazy plot twist. It doesn't belong in this movie at all.
So now Aquaman, I left it running here on YouTube, and now it's got trailer number 2. Even though trailer number 1 basically showed me the whole goddamn movie, man. Jeez, man.
Now we're going to show you the details in between.
I know, and show me the makings of, all that stuff. It's no fun no more, man.
Right.
I'll show you one of the best trailers to look at, to my point. And it's all over the DVDs. If you ever watch the trailers for The Exorcist, when The Exorcist first came out, right, that movie blew everyone away because of all the, back then, those special effects and the girl and the topic, obviously, the subject matter. But the trailer... The commercials, especially the TV spots, they weren't going to show you nothing. All you got was the old man stepping out of the cab into the light from the lamp.
Yeah.
And
they knew how to tease stuff back
then. And there's only one thing where they showed someone knocking on the door, And the woman opened up the door. The mom opens the door up, and all you see is the shadow of the exorcist.
Right.
And they got some growl or something, the devil's growl, like Dexter right now. Yeah, that one. Right. Good timing, Dexter. Right. Yeah. And then that's it. Boom. You know?
Yeah.
Just starts in theaters next week or some shit. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Good times. They didn't give away the whole damn thing.
Right. I never watched Halloween. And I asked somebody the other
originals
day.
Originals? Yeah, or
any of them.
Any of them?
Yeah. I asked somebody the other day. I said, did Michael Myers ever even talk in the movie? And I guess he didn't. I guess that's the big tease in the movies, right? What if he, like, took off the mask and it was, like, Gilbert Gottfried playing him?
It wouldn't work.
Tabard! Right.
It's Gilbert Gottfried.
Right. Of all people. He takes it off and, like, does a 9/11 joke.
Oh, Jesus. In 1978. Yeah. Way before his time.
Right.
Yeah. Halloween, yeah. Friday the 13th, all those movies
right.
from back in the day, slasher yeah. films.
Yeah, they used to like. Yeah, they, I guess that was the big tease. Right?
We're gonna be talking to Blood Creek films.
I watched a lot of Chucky. I did watch Chucky. Yeah,
all of them.
I watched
The Bride of Chucky.
Yeah, I watched The Bride. Jesus. I watched Chucky 1 and Chucky 2. I think
you
and
liked
The Bride.
Those kept your attention.
Yeah, and when you watch them, when you watch them as an adult, they're more comedies than anything
true.
Else, right?
It's true.
Is yeah, especially Chucky 1.
Well,
Chucky
now 1 they're comedies. Yeah.
You can laugh at it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Like when my kids turned 10 and 11, I tried. I was 10 years old when I first saw The Exorcist, and it blew my mind. It's the generation I'm from. This stuff is scary, you know.
Right.
Talk about a girl being possessed, her head spinning around, and all kinds of funky stuff. My kids didn't get bothered by it. It's just crazy generation, man.
Right.
Yeah. even the subject matter didn't bother him. I mean, I didn't really raise him going to church left and right, but I mean, you know.
What freaks you out?
Yeah. What
if this doesn't freak you out, then
basically
what does?
Is what I want to ask him. What?
Right.
Well, my youngest son is interesting because nothing really grosses him out. He actually plays one of those virtual reality games where he's a surgeon.
Like a real life?
Well,
like
it's
virtual
it's
reality.
Computer. Sure. It's CGI animated.
Yeah.
But you actually go and get a scalpel and you're
but
singing
the gist
to
of the
POV
game is,
of the. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's not Operation, folks, like we used to play.
It's like a flight simulator yeah. for being
We've
a doctor.
Come a long way in games, dude. Remember
that's
Operation?
Crazy.
We used to go in the little thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was funny. Ha-ha.
Yeah, the wishbone, wishbone was
and
the hardest
actually,
part.
Now they're actually performing, you know.
That's insane.
Gallbladder removal and stuff.
I didn't. You know? I did not know that stuff existed.
Yeah, so anyway, he's always been like not grossed out by stuff. I remember him being 5 and watching Jaws with me, and then you know, in the end, when Captain Quint gets eaten by the shark, it's pretty gnarly, right? I thought I got to protect my 5-year-old son. I tried putting my hand over his eyes. Man, he pushed my hand off his eyes a little bit. I want to see this.
You
know?
Right.
Yeah, he was all oh, watching that, man.
Huh?
But it didn't bother him. Like, he didn't have nightmares, nothing like that.
Right.
You know. So.
Yeah, I feel like I was freaked out by a lot of stuff when I was a kid.
Right.
I couldn't watch The Labyrinth. I couldn't watch Dark Crystal. I couldn't watch The Hobbit, the animated version of The Hobbit. Like, just the way things were animated was creepy to me. And it's a cartoon, you know? The way it's drawn is fucking freaking me out.
What, the anime?
The animated version of The Hobbit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, back in the day, that was, like, really creepy looking. Like the storyline wasn't creepy, just
the way it was drawn?
The way it was drawn was creepy. It
really,
just freaked me out.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe I'm sensitive.
Were you into those movies? Were you into the Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit and all that stuff?
Not really. I watched them all, and I kind of enjoyed them. They ran a little too long for me.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember sitting
I know.
In
my
the
wife loves those.
I
have all those extended versions. I'm not watching this with you.
I remember watching the third one, the third Lord of the Rings in the theater. And you think the movie's going to end, and then it goes on for like another hour after that. Like, it has to close up all these other stories.
Right.
Like, they throw the ring into Mount Doom, and you're like, all right, credits rolling.
And no.
Now we need to go talk about this guy. Now we need to go talk about this guy. Now we need to go talk about this guy. And you're constantly on the edge of your seat wanting to get up and walk out of the theater.
Seriously.
Yeah.
It's retarded.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember when Titanic was the first, like...
Oh, I remember that.
Was that. The first movie that ever came out that was, like, 3 hours long, right?
No, it wasn't the first one, but it was the first, like, major one that a lot of people went to see that was 3 hours long.
Yeah.
Oliver Stone used to knock him out of the park going past the 2.5-hour mark.
Did he?
JFK was 3 hours long, that kind of stuff. But that didn't draw in teenagers and whatnot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was more adult fare.
Yeah.
Here comes Titanic. I remember that. I remember in 1997, 21 years ago, that movie opened next month. That's crazy how long... It's been since that shit happened. But I'm just saying, I remember 1997 reading about the makers of that movie, and it was getting dogged. Like, James Cameron's way over budget.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. And they were like, this is just, it's turning into a big beast, you know.
Right.
And then it came out.
That's what made James Cameron, actually.
It came out, and my sister, the weekend it came out, I wasn't really paying attention to it. I couldn't care less. But the weekend it came out, my sister called me. I talked to her before the holidays. She goes, oh, you should really go see Titanic. I go, you really went and saw that? Because I was reading nothing but bad stuff about it. And she goes, yeah, it was really good. This was before the Hoopla caught on, like right before. She went and saw it the first weekend. She goes, oh, my God, that movie's awesome. I go, seriously? She's like, yeah. And sure enough, man, that thing took off and did what it did, man.
Right. That was right around when I started, like, driving and, like, dating girls and stuff like that. So you had to go, you know.
You had to sit through 3 hours.
That was the date. That was the date, yeah.
Doesn't really end on a good note, though, dude. How does that work when you're dating somebody?
Right.
Not a very happy ending, man.
Yeah. Well,
I just watched a bunch of stuff on the...
I lost my virginity the same night that Godzilla came out.
Well, you don't say. How ironic.
How ironic.
Wait, the 1997 Godzilla?
Yeah.
The one that flopped?
Yep.
The one with Matthew Broderick?
Yep. Yep. Where the eggs... They had the eggs... They had the eggs in the sewer and stuff? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that song was so badass. I still think that song's badass, actually. I still think that song's badass.
He did that on SNL.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and he had Led Zeppelin on there playing with him and Nuh-uh. Stuff. It's crazy, man.
That's crazy.
It is. Good times. But hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. It's Jay Heiss, Chris Canfield, The Hub Show. I got to give some props to some musicians out there. First one I want to give it to out of Michigan, ladies and gentlemen, Dalmatian Stone. Check them out.
Make it
Hardy Pet is your local neighborhood pet store, serving premium and super premium pet food and supplies for dogs, cats, birds, and small animals. Your pets will love their selections from Fromm, Nutrisource, and Nature's Logic, along with American National Premium, Origin, and Akana 2. At Hardy Pet, we offer training courses including 2 and 3 week holiday manners brush-ups. We even offer canine massage to help with joint pain, arthritis, injuries, anxiety, and stress. So come see us at Hardy Pet, 19918 Jefferson Boulevard, right here in Hagerstown. Hardy Pet, where we love your pets, too.
The People's Podcast.
The Hub Show. This is the podcast your mama warned you about.
And, like, do the laundry and the dishes and stuff and listen to it. And then I got to go back every half hour
but
and
somehow,
hit the button
but somehow,
and say, yes,
but
I'm still
watching
this.
It knows you're not
watching. Right?
Somehow it knows you're not watching.
And it is
goddamn
weird.
TV.
Because I can, like, turn off the TV in the middle of a movie before I'm going to bed, right?
Yeah.
And then wake up the next morning and turn on the TV and it'll say, do you want to resume?
Yeah.
And then you hit start and it starts back where you went to bed.
Right.
Like, how the fuck did you know I went to bed?
Hey, man. It says good morning to you. Hey, good morning.
Right?
Would you like some
like
cream
getting,
in
your
coffee?
Getting, you're digging into my life too much.
Yeah, a little too deep.
And you're not giving me what I want, right? Like, I want you to just keep on playing while I do the dishes.
It wakes you up with exercise videos and stuff. What the hell is this
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, right? The technology is just taking over. I got a watch that tells me when to breathe.
Like, really?
I'm not breathing.
You
don't, do you have an Apple Watch?
I don't know how that yet. I haven't gone there yet.
Oh, God. You get an Apple Watch, and every once in a while, I don't know if it senses anything or not.
Right.
Like, I don't know if it runs off your heart rate or what, but at random times in the middle of the day, it'll just go, take a minute and calm down. Breathe.
All right.
It's like, focus on your breathing, and then this little flower will start, like, expanding and then going back down and expanding and going back down, and you're supposed to inhale and exhale with the flower. I mean, I'll give it credit. It does work. Like, it feels good to stop and breathe every once in a while. But, but I'm not going to have a watch that fucking tells me when and what to do, especially breathing. I'll breathe whenever I fucking want to breathe.
God damn it. It's my breath.
I'm not listening to this watch.
Yeah. Hub Show, Jay Heiss, Chris Canfield. We're back just kicking it. Saturday the 24th, the aftermath of Thanksgiving. Everyone's going to get back to the grind here in 2 days.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm already back to the grind.
Are you? Yeah.
I am a busy mofo.
Mofo. That's it, man. Yeah. It's funny. We were talking about a lot of things in the past and how time's flying. It's 2018, about to be 19.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Did you stick up to any of your resolutions?
Never. Well, no.
Did you have a resolution?
I did to get in shape. I didn't start doing it until July, so here we are.
But hey, you did it.
But it had nothing to do with January.
How many pounds did you now?
I've shed about 35, 40 pounds.
Nice,
right?
That's good. It feels good, right?
Thanksgiving wasn't helping.
It feels amazing. It feels like you're a whole new person.
It does. My son, Kevin, took 50 pounds off, man. I'm so proud of him.
Wow.
He's a whole new guy, man.
I was up at like 240 one time.
He's walking around. He's got the Fitbit watch. He's walking around getting his 10,000 steps in every day, making sure of it. Yeah.
Yeah. He makes sure that he hits that mark every day.
Remember, you saw him.
Like if he comes home and he's only got 8,000 steps, he makes sure.
He works at Walmart, so he makes sure before his shift starts, he walks around the store. I mean, I'm proud of him. He's sticking with it.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you haven't really seen him since March. He's a heavy set kid.
Yeah,
50 pounds. He's still going.
Nice.
So yeah, we're proud of him. So there, shout out, Kevin. Good going. But hey, it's 2018, about to be 19.
Now hopefully, he starts getting a little ass off of it, huh?
Something's got to give.
I mean, that's the main goal.
Something's got to give.
Right? That's
something's
the main goal.
That's it.
We do it for the ladies.
That's what the gym's all about.
Right?
It's funny, man. The first time I took Kevin into a gym when he was like 15, you know, to really start working out, it's funny, this old man was next to us working out too. And I was telling him what this exercise and that exercise is for. And I forget how that came up, but the old man leans in and goes, the real reason you're in here is for the ladies.
Right?
I said, pretty much, Kev. I'm just trying to be the adult in the room here.
Right?
But yeah.
Yep.
You know?
That's the only reason
down
men
to.
That's the only reason men do anything.
That's it.
That's the only reason we buy fancy cars and own houses have good jobs.
What I was telling Kevin,
everything is because we're trying to get a good lady.
Before the
and
it's funny because we sit here.
Find Motown.
But what's crazy too, though, is our mindset. Right? Is he like right now when I just imitated an old man, I talked to my son, going, "You're in here for the ladies." An old person today, let's say they're 70. My dad is 73. Okay, but. These are the people, that's the baby boomer generation.
These people were calling old. They didn't grow up dancing to jazz music and ragtime music in the 20s. These guys came up. They saw all the great bands. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, all the stuff we love, they grew up on. And they were there for it when it happened.
Yeah.
Pink Floyd and Zeppelin and going back to the Beatles and all that stuff. And yet we still think of them as old and they got to wind up the phonograph to dance to it. You know? But in reality, you know what I mean? Like Shade's grandmother just passed away at the age of 90. That means she's born in 28. She's 40.
Wow.
She's 40 in 68, so she's still kicking it like we are in 68.
Yeah.
You know, with the whatever she was doing, right? All that. She was there for the funk and the disco and the Motown. She's
right?
there for all the good stuff, you know what I mean?
What do you think her perspective was at 40 on disco compared to her as a child?
Well, she would have been 50 in 78, which was like the height of disco. So I don't know. Well, I don't know anything about Shay's grandmother.
Do you think she actually...
Maybe she didn't dance.
Did she like it? Did she not like it or not like it?
I went to ask Shay, dude. I'm sure she got down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
She's like the
just, I love picking people's brains older than me, especially 10 or 15 years older than me. I was born in 73.
Right.
But people who actually came up in the mid to late 60s into the 70s and got to live through that, to be 10 years old like in 1973, what a different world you lived in back then, man. You only had three channels, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There was no cable yet really anywhere. HBO wasn't a thing yet, you know?
Yeah.
Social media wasn't even a word. It wasn't
even
a thing.
What did you do?
They went outside and played, but they had a good time. Right. You know what I mean? The music was awesome.
And they had chores that involved like gathering wood to put in the stove.
This is the 70s,
like
dude.
That.
We're talking the 70s, dude. Not the 1870s.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
this is
about
a little
that.
House on the prairie, dude.
Oh, no. I mean, like... I'm talking like 60s. See, even in the 60s, there's no central heat, right?
You know, a lot of places didn't work.
No air conditioning.
You said our studio was built in the 60s, this place. You have central air and heat in here now.
Yeah.
I'm sure there wasn't when they first put it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
It's crazy.
If you grew up in a house that's built in the 70s, there's a chance you don't have it. You know what I'm saying? So, it's weird, man.
Right.
But I'm just saying, we're talking about heat and air conditioning now. But, I mean, hey. I just find it amazing that the year 2000 is now retro.
Everyone seems to always have like a conflict for accepting change, right?
Yep.
Like they never want to accept the change of the world. And I wonder if that like was prevalent in the past.
I guarantee it was. Imagine when the air conditioner first came out. How many people poo-pooed all over that? Even though they wanted it.
Right.
But
they
I mean?
Probably
they
thought it was going to cause cancer.
I'm guaranteed some dumb shit like that was said
right.
about the air
like
conditioner.
Like the microwave.
Yeah.
Yeah, people were like,
just me a
people wouldn't stand in the kitchen
the
while they were cooking things
movie,
in the microwave.
You saw that movie American Hustle?
Yeah.
The science oven?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the microwave when it first came into... We got a microwave like in 1982 or 3. You know, before then, it was something amazing that a friend might have in his kitchen, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want to stand next to it because you don't know what's up.
Right. This thing takes cord and it turns it into other stuff.
Then you saw what it did to the gremlin. You know, whoa,
yeah,
nasty shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that around when like the microwave was getting popular?
Microwave was getting popular in the late 70s into the early 80s, and by 84, everyone had one in their house.
So the movie Gremlins was like right around
84.
When it was becoming
so you
popular.
You popped a gremlin in the microwave and turned that thing on. You got to see what happens when you put something in the microwave.
That's crazy.
Pow!
Yeah.
Like popcorn, baby.
Yeah. And then flash forward 10 years of Beavis and Butthead are putting frogs and cats in there,
God,
right?
Dude. That's retarded. You know, there's one episode of Beavis and Butthead that never made it to the air. And I only saw a clip of it on one of these Mike Judge specials because they got in trouble, right?
Yeah.
Remember when Beavis couldn't say fire because a 7-year-old girl had burned down a house or something like that because she says she's learned it from watching Beavis and Butthead.
Right.
Yeah, break. I mean, Looney Tunes was far worse than that. But there was an episode of Beavis and Butthead where they were standing over the stove and they had all the burners on and they were getting high off the fumes. I don't think I've only remember seeing a clip of it. I've never seen the actual full episode of that. And I have the collection, the Mike Judge collection. But
yeah.
Funny, huh?
That's great.
I never even thought to do that as a kid. Anyway.
Right. Yeah. But I guess if it would have been aired, maybe you had tried it.
Don't know. I wouldn't have tried it.
No.
I wasn't burning down houses. I was an adult by the time that shit came on. But it was still funny.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, the year 2000 is now retro. Like, to you, 1990 is old, right? I mean,
yeah.
You're only nine
yeah.
years old then, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when it turned to 1980. I remember being 6 years old, New Year's, and it became 1980. That was a big deal.
1980. But I remember when it was a big deal of 2000. Remember Y2K and all that bullshit?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The banks, they're all worried right. that the thing's going to reset everything.
I spent that New Year's Eve staring at my computer watching the clock tick over. I was like sitting at the computer like this, like at 12 o'clock. Like fuck the ball. I want to see the clock on this thing tick over to 12:01.
See if everything gets reset to zero.
Right.
Nothing happened at all. How much money the companies pour into the Y2K?
Right. Hey, Daft Punk got born.
That's true. No good things came out of it.
Good things did come out of it.
2000 was a game changer, man.
Right.
I mean, Napster, that was kind of in its thing. 1999, right? 98, 99.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole world seemed to change after that, man.
Uh-huh.
2000, though.
Daft Punk, though, they were like, I don't know if you watched a documentary or something on Showtime.
It's
about
out there.
Them.
I'll see it.
But, yeah, they were like, they were a French, like, punk band, right? And it got horrible reviews. And one of the reviews in a newspaper said it was Daft Punky crap or something like that. So they broke up the band. Like went into some kind of depression or whatever, and then this whole like rave society started building up, right? Like
sure.
all this electronic music and everything. So they started going to the raves and stuff, and then they really got into it. And the one guy, he was a DJ, he actually made a song from like taking like you know when you take like the end of a like a microphone,
right.
and you go to like barely put it inside the insert, and you get that little feedback.
Yep.
He made like a whole song just off of that, like from tapping the microphone cord on the intro, right, or on the insert,
right.
And it kind of like blew the whole rave thing open, right. And then the other guy in Daft Punk, he was obsessed with Y2K. Like he thought the world was just going to come to an end. And when it happened, they put on these robot helmets and just decided to become Daft Punk.
Yeah, this anonymous group,
right? And now, like, ever since Y2K, their managers, their agents, nobody's seen their face. Like, right. every time they go into a meeting, they're wearing the robot helmets. Like, nobody's... They can go out in public and go to a grocery store. They could be living down the street from you. Your next-door neighbor. You would never know who
that's kind of cool, though.
Who they are, yeah.
But you know what? The music speaks for itself.
It does.
You don't have a face to it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something to be said about that.
Yeah. And they have, like, this amazing, like, thing now where, like, they can go away and disappear out of sight for, like, 4 years.
Right.
And then just pop up on the Grammys. And you're like, whoa, they're back. The robots are back. And you're excited to see them back again.
Right?
Right? And then they'll just disappear again. Mm-hmm. And then they're back again.
They'll come back a couple years and knock you out of the park.
Yeah, it's crazy how they've had the career that they've built.
There you go.
That. All from being paranoid about Y2K. Right? That's why it all got started.
Something good came out of it.
Yeah.
Daft Punk, ladies and gentlemen.
Right?
I like it. I'm down with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like
it. It's crazy,
though, groovy.
Man. But it's just weird, man. Time has flown. 2000 is now retro. 2000 is old school. I turn on the Boomerang channel, you know? It's like the fact that they're showing Dexter's Laboratory and Powerpuff Girls now. It's
is
like,
that on Boomerang?
Oh, dude, it's on Boomerang.
Oh,
it's right there next to Tom and Jerry and Looney
Tunes.
You're like, whoa, are you serious?
Samurai Jack is retro?
2019, SpongeBob will be 20 years old, man.
Oh, no
We've come a long way home.
No way.
Yep. Dude, I remember when Sesame Street was only 10 years old. The big number 10 came on the screen.
Season 10.
Yeah. That's 79. How's that grab you? But yeah.
Wow. How long has Sesame Street been on now?
That's been
on.
It'll be 50 years next year.
50 years?
69 it came on. November of 69.
That's insane.
Been on for 49 years, dude.
Is that the longest running show ever?
It's got to be up there.
It's got to be close to it,
I
right?
mean, it's not on a network, but it's running.
Saturday Night Live is just in their 40th year, right?
They came on in 75. Now, granted, Sesame Street's a different animal.
Yeah.
No pun intended at all, but I mean, they still got Big Bird walking around.
Right.
They still got, you know, Elmo's still there.
And the Simpsons are still cranking them out.
Oh, my God.
They're like 30 years old.
They don't need to. Fox needs them. They don't need to crank them out. And now they're taking Apu off the show.
Right.
It's over.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right.
Ain't the same.
Yeah. Political correctness is going to kill The Simpsons.
30 years later, really? That's why I'm saying to people complaining about Apu. 30 years later, seriously?
Right. You have nothing else to complain
Everybody
about?
Everybody else in that show is yellow, except for the black guy. And, right. I mean, who cares?
Never thought about that.
They got
that.
Four fingers.
Yeah, they're all yellow with four fingers.
Marge and Mo, their hair is blue.
Yeah, they're not real people.
I mean, look at Bart's head. looks like a lunch.
He hasn't had his hair cut in 30 years. Yeah. Yeah, he's looked exactly the same. That nobody
I
ages.
That was controversy when that came out, man. Simpsons was pushing the envelope.
Oh, yeah. I was in like
crazy,
man. I was probably
dope.
I was probably coming out of like elementary school, going
so
into middle school,
man.
And it was like Conan, you know, O'Brien, that was back when you're like it was a big controversy. Like your parents were like, "Do you let your kids watch The Simpsons?"
Yeah. But then the shit that came out after that, Ren and Stimpy and Beavis and Butthead and South Park. South Park's still on,
It
dude.
Got so dirty and crazy after that.
South Park's been on for 21 years, dude.
Yeah.
It's still going. Trey Parker, Matt Stone, they're still cranking them out, dude.
I know, right?
And
it's crazy.
They do their best to keep up with the times. They still put these episodes out that have to do with the current event of the week. It's crazy, man.
Right? I mean, that's where they get all of their writing from. Is like, we're going to make fun of exactly what happened in the news today.
It's nuts.
Right?
And they just crank them out over midnight or something, right?
Yeah.
They are.
Right?
It's crazy,
and the whole gist of the joke is it is too soon, you know?
Right.
Everybody, like, if you go to make a joke about something that happened, like the synagogue shooting or something like that, right? You make a joke about it the next day, and then everybody just beats you down about it, like, "Oh, it's too soon. Oh, you shouldn't do that." Yeah. It's like, well, if it wasn't too soon, then it wouldn't be a joke, right? If I told it a year from now, it wouldn't be funny at all.
Let me ask you: is it ever too soon or no? Not to you?
Not to me. No,
no.
It's never too soon.
You can handle it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's never too soon. You can make light of a situation.
Are you the type of person that makes light of your own?
Yeah.
Your own shit?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll make light of a situation immediately after something bad happens.
I'm just asking.
If I had to get surgery, I would be on the table telling jokes about the surgery as the doctor was cutting me open.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
If I was awake. That tickles, doc.
Like, right?
Don't pull too
hard. Yeah, like there's no too soon.
Really?
No. The reason that things are funny is because they're too soon. That's the whole point of the joke.
Is to be the first one to get to the joke.
That's it. It's a race to the joke. It's a race to the
punchline. Gilbert Gottfried lost his whole Aflac contract because he cracked a joke about 9/11. Like, literally, like, within the next 2-3 weeks of the event.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And that was within 2 or 3 weeks.
That was in the month of September.
Bet you he thought about that joke 2 or 3 hours after it happened.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
but still,
and the tsunami joke.
Yeah,
he did the tsunami joke too.
That didn't help him.
Yeah, it's like don't worry about something like dating in Japan because you know there's plenty of fish in the sea. Another one will just come floating by. Oh my God, I still think that's funny. Am I the only one that laughs at this ignorant stuff?
I mean, I know it's funny. I also know good timing, though.
Do you feel...
In my head, I know that's funny, but right now...
You feel bad for laughing at ignorant jokes?
Sometimes. Depends on what the subject is.
Yeah.
Even though I know it's funny.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But you feeling bad overpowers the strength of the joke.
I keep it to myself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm the kind of just... I'm not going to sit there and you know, kick and scream about it, but in my head, I'm like, whoa. But as I say, whoa, I'm laughing. Whoa. Because the timing was just wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's all. That's all I'm saying, man. But crazy, 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 dude. I know. Look at you. What are you drinking there, man?
Oh, I don't... I'm down to...
We're not doing the book tonight. We're waiting
raspberry
for
rum and Chambord.
Chambord?
Chambord. Chambord.
And a Miller Lite. Or MGDs.
Yeah. I'll wash it down with some MGD.
Wash it down with some MGD.
Yeah.
Welcome to the studio, folks.
Right. I'm about, this will be my sixth shot here.
Emerald Studios.
Yeah.
Chris Canfield.
Yeah. I'm trying to get a buzz.
Hasn't started yet? Hasn't
happened?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's happened.
Yeah.
I'm pretty buzzed. It's okay.
All right. Yeah. Best way to do a podcast.
It'll be gone. It'll be gone in like an hour, though.
It's the best way to do a podcast.
Just got to keep them maintained.
Yeah. Hear that, kids? Best way to do a podcast.
That's right. When are we getting, a bulldozer back in here.
Brian Dozier, I'm going to get you back on here. And Jerry Harper.
Big Chuck is doing his event tonight at the Pretzel Pizza Creation in Hagerstown. I try to get us in there to do the podcast, but they want to put us on the back burner because of trivia night. So I'm like, we'll just do it some other time.
Maybe if I go in there with my big ass brain and I slam the trivia night, right?
Then that's a wrap.
And I was like, everybody get the fuck out, right?
I win.
I done answered all the questions. Everybody get the fuck out.
That's when you pull a microphone and your headphones out and go, I'm doing something.
Right.
None of your business. Right.
Give me this list of questions. Let me tell you everybody the answers. Boom, yeah, boom, right. Boom, boom, boom. All right. You had a good time here. Now leave.
Are you that smart, Chris?
No,
you have your moments?
Not really. I have my moments. Yeah.
Unless it's about dark matter.
I have my subjects, I should say.
Yeah.
You know,
what's with you in science?
There's a lot of things I'm not interested in, and there's a lot of things that I'm completely obsessed with.
Like what? Don't tell us. Don't get into full detail, but scratch the surface. What makes you sit up at night?
What used to put me in really deep thought was astrophysics. I used to think about like space and how big it is, and the whole like trying to grab a hold of the concept of it, and like why planets are. It's not infinite.
You don't think it's infinite?
No, we know how big the universe is now.
How is that? Did we hit a wall somewhere?
We did hit a wall. We know what's outside the wall.
Shut up.
Yeah,
we hit a wall.
Yeah, we know. We know how big it is.
Wait, what's out there?
We can measure it.
Get out of here. Past Pluto. Way beyond Pluto. Pluto
way fucking beyond Pluto.
But what, did we hit a wall?
Pluto's from like here to the door.
I mean, this is like, what, it's like the Truman Show? We hit a wall?
No. There's like we can measure, we can look outside. We can look so far out into the universe that we can, not with like telescopes and things. We can't see it with our blind eyes, but we can like look out with like microwave radiation,
right,
and infrared radiation and all this other stuff, and we can see where the edges of the universe is. And there's a large cold spot,
right?
There's like millions of light years across. There's a spot where there's nothing in it, and we think that is where one universe is touching another, like the two bubbles. Like imagine that.
So it's imagine the end of our universe, but there's a different universe out there.
Yeah, imagine the universe is like imagine the universe is like a bubble, like expanding in water, right?
But
it's constantly growing, and things are like constantly expanding and pushing out, and we can see the edges of the bubble all the way around. We can look around and we can see microwave radiation all the way around the edge of the bubble, right? And we know that, like, outside of the edge of the bubble is microwave radiation. And then there's one cold spot where there's no microwave radiation.
All right, Dr. Canfield.
And we think that's two bubbles touching each other. They're, like, coming in and touching each other. Right?
Listen to that glass again.
So, but yes. I sit up at night thinking about these things. Yes. So I used to sit up at night thinking about these things. And now I have a very firm grasp in my head about what's happening in the world, and I can even go down to like particle science and like how solids and gases are formed and like how atoms bond and go through the whole periodic chart and all that kind of stuff.
For a high school dropout, when did you start wrapping your head around this stuff? Was science the one class that kept your attention?
Science was the one, like Earth space science really grabbed my attention. Spanish really grabbed my attention.
The language?
The language, yeah.
Okay. You speak any of it?
I speak Spanglish. Okay. I speak enough to get by on a construction site.
Oh, there you go. All right. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I don't know what else. What else really grabbed me? Math. I'm really good at math. But I never really got into, like, I started to dig into math a little bit and trying to understand those problems. You know, like, there's always the joke, or it's not a joke, but it's, you know, there's always the problem where they have, like this guy gives his hotel person $5, and then this guy gives this guy $4, and this guy, and where did that extra dollar go? Remember that whole problem?
Right.
Well, you can dig really deep into math in that problem. Like, you can go down to like where things don't make sense anymore, right? You can dig down so deep into that equation that like there's no answer.
Okay.
You know?
That's where you come in.
And you're like I've been down that rabbit hole before.
That hole, huh?
I've been down that rabbit hole and tried to figure out where the answer is.
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and then yeah, but I've given up on that.
Wow.
Yeah. But now Neil deGrasse, in the world of Neil deGrasse Tyson and everything, and he can break everything down into layman's terms so easy, and you can understand, like, you can wrap your head around everything. It's just crazy.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. And you see the world from a whole nother perspective.
Do you feel at your age?
Like I was telling you before the before the show started, like when my battery starts losing charge in my cell phone.
Sure.
I understand that what happens with electrons and neutrons and how they flow through a battery.
Wrong podcast.
And everything. and I can't blame Apple for making a bad battery, because I know what lithium does when electrons and neutrons roll through it.
Well, don't leave us hanging, Chris, by all means. What does it do?
Right. Yeah. But anyways, when you get into this stuff and you start to wrap your head around how the world works, and like you understand that we're just made of carbon and oxygen and hydrogen and all these other, lithium is like a major part of Earth, and how the Earth is formed with surface tension and things pushing in and gravity and all this stuff. When you understand all that and you wrap your head around it, there's really nothing to fucking argue about.
Okay. There's,
you know, like, why am I arguing with somebody over how to load a dishwasher when
all these other problems?
When like, we're just a bunch of fucking particles gathered together. We're just a bunch of bacteria on a fucking rock. Floating through infinite fucking space.
We take ourselves way too seriously, huh?
We take ourselves way too fucking seriously. Yeah. Like, who cares about Kim Kardashian's new fucking, like, line of purses when... We're
floating snot in the middle.
Right? We're just a fucking bunch of bacteria. It makes no fucking sense.
I'm someone's toe fungus.
Right?
That's all I am. Staring right at you.
Yeah. And then we were talking about on the last podcast, like... I went back and watched that whole Evolution of Us thing, and like just looking back, like just a couple hundred years, which is a fucking pinhead in the aspect of time, right? And back then, people couldn't, like, the world was split up into like these areas where they couldn't digest certain foods because they didn't have certain enzymes in their stomach to break down the foods.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So you're like, the Chinese can only eat fucking bread. That's all they eat.
Right.
And Genghis Khan, you know, the Mongolians, they can digest milk. They're the only people on the planet that can digest milk. It's insane to think about that kind of stuff. And that was just a couple hundred years ago.
This is what keeps
pushing. Right? And we've blended so much. Like, we've interweaved, and the world has gotten so much that we can travel from, like, New York to, like...
LA
in 6 hours. We can go to fucking Australia. We can go anywhere in the world in a day.
In a day.
Right? And people are like mating, and all these genes are blending together, and we're becoming like this stronger, fucking more powerful people.
Right.
It's just crazy to think about.
It is, man.
Yeah.
It is.
It's crazy.
We're stuck in the middle of it all, dude.
We are those powerful people. You and me, we are those powerful people.
I'm starting to throw dishes.
Right? I knocked over a shot glass.
There's a sermon here.
I'm throwing my finger around. I'm pointing at you and shit.
Brother Canfield.
Chris
landed on thick.
All right. We are those people.
Oh, jeez.
We're strong. We're stronger than anybody who ever came before us.
Let it out,
Chris. Crazy, right?
We are.
It's just crazy to think about.
I know. We're living longer. All that stuff.
Yeah. And technology is getting to the point where we can, like, make a fucking human heart. We can print it out on a 3D printer.
You get the bat
and we
on
can
your
take,
watch.
We can take we can take your DNA and stem cell it into something that was printed out on a 3D printer and put it in your fucking body and make you live longer.
We talk about what's retro and this and that, and we're only talking 20 years. The reality of it is this. We've come so long in just 60 years, technology.
We don't even know how to comprehend
it.
Where
are we
going to
be in 60 years from now? I mean, we've come so far.
We can't even wrap our heads around how
between
fast technology is moving.
Between 1950 and 2000, we came so far.
So
And we're further away far. Now 20 years later.
Right?
For
I don't
better
even
or
think,
worse.
I don't even think that most of the population, I think if you put the 80-20 rule into effect, I bet you 80% of the population does not understand where technology is right now.
I guarantee it.
They have no fucking idea. Like, we could almost make a cyborg human being.
I'm just fascinated with time and how far we've come in such a short span of time. technology-wise, we've come further in 50 years than ever.
Right.
As far as, you know, what we're able to plug on the wall and make work and the stuff you do. I mean, the stuff that used to be the stuff of science fiction is on your watch right now, your Apple Watch, and it's available.
This thing tells me when my heart rate gets above 120.
You can buy a 65-inch, 70-inch screen now for $600. That's not even the Black Friday price.
That's what we were talking about in the first segment.
10 years ago, that was...
Where's the fucking money going?
Right.
Like, we have no idea how the money's going to flow. We don't know anything about economics.
Right.
We're too stupid to handle the machine that we've built.
Uh-oh.
That's
the problem, huh, Chris?
We've built so much technology, and it's moving so fast.
The machines own us.
That we can't control.
The robots are coming.
Right? And we take these people who are like, the problem is we're so focused on efficiency, right?
Yeah.
Like my problem with the MVA, right? Or the DMV or whatever
you
call it.
Where you're from, right?
Where you're from. So my problem with that is like I'm stuck in this fucking cycle, right? Where like I'll make the other day I ate pizza for lunch.
Okay.
Right? Like, blew into my blow and go and it failed. I walked back in the house. I came in, I had a drink of water, sat down, watched a TV show, went back out, blew, and it passed as a fail. I mean, it passed.
The engine started up. Right?
So I started up, I go to work. The next day, I went to go get the thing calibrated. I told the guy, I said, listen, I don't know why the thing blew a fail. It doesn't make any sense. It must have had a glitch in it. Right? He's like, were you eating anything? I said, yes.
Garlic.
He said, well, you have yeast in your mouth. The yeast in your mouth will set it off.
Right.
So he's like, well, you need to set in your car for another 5 minutes, and then the machine will reset and reboot, and then it'll ask you to blow again. He said, did you do that? No, I didn't do that. I went back in the house and waited a half hour and came back out. Oh, well, that's going to count as a fail, and the MVA is going to send you a letter, and they're going to extend you another 6 months, So the problem is the problem is we've taken people who are willing to work for $10 an hour,
right?
And we've put them in a position where all they do is push buttons.
Yeah.
Right? Well, there's no human factor in it at all. Like, there's nobody I can talk to.
Right.
Nobody I can call to say what happened to get me out of this fucking problem.
Right.
There's nobody.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just talking to people who are paying $10 an hour to push buttons.
That's it.
Right? They're going to go, oh, he got a fail. Click.
Yep.
And then, the computer tells me he needs to add on 6 months.
And there's no justification. There's no explaining.
There's nobody I can fucking talk to about it.
Because it's owned by the machines.
Right?
The machines are taking over, dude. I mean, there's a machine in front of me right now.
I sound like some kind of paranoid fucking like a conspiracy theorist. But
I'm
telling you.
Tell me again about the machines. Tell me again.
tell you what. The machines are taking over.
Yeah.
The machines are taking over. we need to get humans back in. Who can judge things based on human factor and emotion? They need to have empathy.
The machines are taking over, huh?
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sound like a crazy person.
The machines.
But I'm inside it. You're not inside it like I am.
No.
Ah.
That's what she said. All right.
Makes me so angry.
Yeah?
Makes me so fucking angry. No. There's nobody I can fucking talk to.
God?
I need a therapist.
Are you there? It's me, Margaret.
Yeah, that's an old Ray Stevens. That's an old Ray Stevens song.
Is it?
Yeah. Margaret, are you there? You don't know that song?
There's actually a book called Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Oh, there is. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Some chick gets her beer.
I'm more into the Ray Stevens song.
Are you really?
Yeah, the
Ahab, the Arab, and all that stuff.
Ahab,
oh, my
the God.
God.
I love
Ray Stevens, man.
My mom.
Jesus.
My mom bought me so much crazy shit when I was a kid.
Bunch of kids.
Like on stuff on VHS. I would be like, I'd be like 8 years old, and she bought me like Dorf on Golf.
Oh, wow.
Like, right? And I'm watching this shit on VHS, or like all of the... like, you know, the Jim Varney?
Sure.
The
Ernest?
Ernest. Yeah.
You like him?
Like, he used
you grew
to,
up on Ernest.
Yeah, he used to, like, I had all the Ernest movies, and he used to do, he had an Ernest show on TV.
I remember that.
She bought me. She bought me the show on VHS.
She kept you busy, dude.
And she had
this is pacifying you, dude.
Right?
Go watch Ernie.
And at the end of the thing, he used to do commercials for like a local like Ford spot, like somewhere.
He was from Maine,
Indiana, or something. Maine or something like
that.
New
Hampshire. He was on the local dairy commercial before he got big with that Ernest thing.
Yeah,
burn.
And those commercials were at the end of like the VHS tape.
He's no longer with us, I don't believe.
No, he's not. No. It was a sad day.
What was his name?
I remember that. Jim Varney.
Jim Varney. Rest in peace, Jim.
I remember that when he died. Yeah. Yeah. He's a big part of my childhood.
Chris just tipped his 40 to Jim Varney.
Yeah. Poured a little bit out on the sidewalk.
Did you hear that? All right.
Yeah.
The Hub Show.
Anyway.
This is a different
I'm
one.
I'm done ranting now. God.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got all that off my chest.
Get it off your chest. You went deep with the the science, and now
it pisses me off
Ernest
so
goes
much.
To camp.
Pisses me off so much.
You're all over the place with this one too. Interesting. All right, the Hub Show. We got some guests coming up in the next couple of weeks. Shay will be back. We will be hopefully getting Miss Jen Silber back on some aromatherapy talk.
I'm looking forward to that, Jack. I like her
about that sleep therapy thing, man.
I like her.
Hey, what am I doing wrong? Huh? What I want to go in sleep therapy. What am I doing wrong, man?
Right.
You know, it's counting sheep. Is that true? You know,
is it? Have you ever tried it? Counting sheep?
I did.
Like imagining it in your head?
Yeah, and then I just, it changes to something else.
Right.
But I'm still awake.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so. We're like right before I fall asleep, I find that like my mind just goes to really fucking weird places.
Yeah.
Like right before you fall asleep, right?
Yeah.
That's when you like, you start counting sheep.
Yeah.
And then the sheep like become like something else. And
then the
it flows into something
then
else.
Then it turns into a stampede.
Right. Yeah.
Knocked over the fence.
Yeah. Yeah. Then the sheep are on a beach or something. And it's just like, where is this going? And then next thing you know, you're out.
The history of counting sheep. Where did that come from? Who started counting sheep?
I don't know.
Let's find out, folks.
Yeah.
That's what the computer's for. Let's see. Who started
counting sheep? And how many sheep does it usually take to count before you fall asleep?
Who came up with counting sheep? Some doctor. Some doctor back in the day.
One of these times we got to get into sayings.
Anecdotally, one theory is that the idea originated when early sheep herders, makes sense, couldn't get to sleep at night because they were worried about all the sheep in the field. So they soothed themselves by counting the herd to make sure they were safe. Yeah. Boring, but that's probably where it came from. You know what I mean?
That's considering that the sheep herder knows each of his sheep personally. Can he be like, oh, there's the one with the black ring around its eye?
Did that by moonlight. There's no flashlight.
Right.
He's out there going,
like, does he know each one
put
of the sheep
sex
personally?
Five, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd be asleep in a heartbeat. I guess it does work.
I guess, I guess it does
work. I'm going to sleep.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about Ralph. Yeah, he hangs out at the back of the pack.
Ralph.
Yeah, he's always fighting with the dog.
I know. Bastard. Yeah. Ralph was the name of the sheep dog, though.
Oh, was
on Looney Tunes. Was it Ralph and Frank?
Oh,
When the Coyote checks in, is he Frank? Born in Frank?
I bet you my subconscious picked up on that. That's right.
Looney Tunes has a way of doing that, dude.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, like going back and watching Looney Tunes as an adult is like,
oh my god, there's nothing wrong with it.
It's nothing.
Looney
at
Tunes
all.
Were not made for children.
Yeah,
those were made in the 40s,
right?
And the 30s, and the 50s.
It's so political
they were intermission entertainment. The movies,
yeah,
they weren't made for TV. They just got put in there on Saturday mornings as kids entertainment. But that shit's so funny, man.
Right?
You know, it still holds up.
Yeah,
good times.
Right? I like it.
I love it. All right. Hey, Hub Show. We're going to wrap this baby up. It's been real, man.
It has.
Yes. Once again, happy belated Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope we'll be seeing Shay back in full force again soon. Coming back from Texas. That's where she's at.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Shay.
Right.
And we got some other guests coming on lined up. So we'll be having on the month of December here. But hey, Jay. Hi, Chris Canfield. And I'm going to leave here with another artist who wants to get his stuff on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, the music of Mr. Dale Baylor. Take it away, Dale.
When I wake up in the morning, babe, 6 a.m. to start my day, I need
need a little motivation, babe. I need your morning coffee. Now sometimes I need it plain black and strong. With that you can never go wrong. But sometimes I need a caramel latte. Not as dark but smooth to the taste. I'm just talking about that morning coffee. It's that thing that motivates my day. When I need to be up and on my way, I need your morning coffee. Now sometimes I want a little Irish cream. Red hair, stiletto heels, they busting at the seams. And sometimes I want a little hazel. She's a little nutty, but more than able. I'm just talking about that morning coffee. It's that thing that motivates my day. When I need to be up and on my way, I need your morning coffee. Now sometimes I want a little French vanilla. Take you to my house and my villa. Beat it up like the Thriller in Manila. Then lay you softly on a bed of chinchilla. I'm just talking about that morning coffee. It's that thing that motivates my day. When I need to be up and on my way, I need your morning coffee. Now percolate for me. I need that fresh blueberry.
Listening to The Hub Show, podcasting and broadcasting about news, views, business and events, health, pop culture, everything and nothing, with your hosts, Chris Canfield and Jay Heisch.